Tonight on the Worldview Report, the war between Russia and Ukraine is heating up, with both sides threatening new offensives. And we bring new evidence that the culture wars are also ratcheting up on the home front in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, with children being the main target. Another train derailment, and this time in North Carolina. A holdover from the COVID emergency laws is about to expire, that being an extra monthly bonus for users of food stamps. Another professional athlete suddenly dies, and girls in Iran are being poisoned in order to stop them from attending school. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. Ukrainian President Zelensky said Friday that Ukraine is preparing to launch attacks to recapture Crimea by forming new military units and sending troops to train in other countries. According to the Ukrainian news agency, Ukrinform, Zelensky said at a press conference, quote, "There are military steps, and we are preparing for them. We are ready mentally. We are preparing technically with weapons, reinforcements, the formation of brigades, in particular, the assault brigades of different categories and nature," end quote. According to the Ukrainian news agency, Zelensky said the Ukrainian troops were being sent to train in other countries to learn how to use the new weapons, adding, quote, "We have to be ready. Then there will be corresponding fair deoccupation steps, and God willing, they will be successful," end quote. David Camp, in the article at antiwar.com, reports that Zelensky and the other top Ukrainian officials have maintained that kicking Russia out of Crimea is one of their war goals. But Russia controls a good portion of the territory to the north of Crimea in the Kherson region. Pentagon also assessed it's unlikely Ukraine can take the Crimean Peninsula, which Russia has controlled since 2014. Yet, the Biden regime and its officials, such as Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, they still say they would support Ukrainian attacks on Crimea. Nuland recently stated at a press conference that, quote, "Russia has turned Crimea into a massive military installation. Those are legitimate targets. Ukraine is hitting them, and we are supporting that," end quote. Camp writes that the U.S. backing Ukrainian attacks on Crimea would risk a major escalation with Moscow, a fact that even Secretary of State Antony Blinken has acknowledged by calling the peninsula a, quote, "red line," end quote, for Russian President Vladimir Putin. So it's pretty clear the folks in Washington are trying to push us to World War III. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal recently published an article that says Western leaders, particularly those in Europe, privately concede that Ukraine cannot win this war with Russia. But at this point, there is no incentive for Russia to come to the table to discuss peace because its demands have always been a demilitarized Ukraine. And NATO's position is that to stop the war on their terms, Ukraine would be put on a path to NATO membership and armed to the hilt. So, expect this war to drag on further, with much more death and destruction of the Ukrainian people and infrastructure. And the longer that happens, the better the chances of the war spreading beyond the boundaries of Ukraine. The U.S. is already training Ukrainian troops in Poland and Romania, where the 101st Airborne is also involved, while Poland is preparing a 250,000-man army for eventual deployment against Russia. And Biden's Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, well, He announced last Friday the U.S. is sending an additional 20,000 permanent U.S. troops to Europe. This war is already a regional one and could explode into a global one at any moment. In other news, another freight train operated by Norfolk Southern has derailed, this time in Lexington, North Carolina. That was on Saturday, February 25th. Quote, one of our trains traveling through Lexington derailed this morning. Of the train's 132 cars, one set of wheels has derailed, end quote. That's what a Norfolk Southern spokesperson said in a statement to Fox Digital. Citing the Norfolk Southern Police Department, WITN reported the derailment occurred between the 319.6 and 320.9 mile post. The Amtrak Alert's Twitter account noted that another train, Piedmont Train 75, quote, stopped in Greensboro due to a disabled freight train blocking the tracks ahead, end quote. The Norfolk Southern spokesperson told Fox Digital that a cleanup is underway, but the derailment doesn't seem to have prompted a response by hazmat crews. Quote, there are no reports of a hazmat situation or danger to the public. Our crew is safe and additional personnel are on their way to begin cleanup. We appreciate the public's patience and care near this area during the cleanup work, end quote. That's what the Norfolk Southern spokesperson said. The Floridian reports that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has ended Disney's special tax and corporate privileges that are not offered to other Florida theme parks. At a press conference at a fire station in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, DeSantis signed a measure Monday, the Reedy Creek Improvement District, that would even the playing field for other amusement parks like SeaWorld and Universal Studios. DeSantis downplayed the epic 2022 political confrontation he had with Disney over the parental rights and education law as just, quote, a little bit of a tussle, end quote. Speaking at the press conference, he said, quote, Disney came against something that was really just about protecting young kids and making sure that students are able to go to school learning to read, write, add, and subtract, and not having a teacher tell them that they could change their gender. I think most parents agree with that, but you know, that was only a mild annoyance. I think that we can come to realize after the dust settled on that was you clearly had a movement within the corporation itself, end quote. DeSantis continued, quote, I'm a dad, 6, 4, and 2, and my wife and I know parents throughout Florida. We want our kids to be kids. We want them to be able to enjoy entertainment at school without having an agenda imposed upon them, end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back, the MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
I'm still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back. Lest anyone think it's just America that is under attack in the culture wars, we have a report from Spain that will give perspective. Spain's lawmakers are coming under fire for approving a radical pro-gender transitioning law. The newly approved law permits minors 12 to 14 years old to change their gender, and those 14 to 16-year-olds to, quote, do so without psychological or other medical evaluation, end quote. That's according to a report at Fox News. Dr. Erica Anderson, a clinical psychologist who identifies as a transgender, has more than four decades of clinical experience and served on the board of the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. Even this transgender doctor expressed concerns regarding the new law's effect on children. In an interview with Fox News, Anderson objected to allowing youth older than 16 to commit to life-altering procedures without parental consent. Anderson said, quote, "That's pretty young," end quote. Anderson, who practices clinical psychology in Berkeley, California, added, quote, "I'm concerned that many young people are sort of caught up in the excitement about sexual and gender minority labels and might be adopting ideas about themselves that may not last," end quote. Anderson expressed concern that young people are, quote, "going to use such labels to make decisions for themselves," end quote, decisions that will change their bodies in ways that cannot be reversed. Now we move to Ireland, where the nation's largest teachers union, the Irish National Teachers Organization, has released a new indoctrination video targeting young children and grooming them to become transgender. Take a look at this disgusting propaganda video made in cartoon format to reach young minds.
At a parent-teacher meeting, a mother told me that her child, who we called Lucy, identified as a boy and wished to be called Liam. After this, I set about preparing the class for Liam's social transition. I taught lessons investigating and challenging gender stereotypes, and using the book Introducing Teddy, explained that some people don't identify with the gender they're assigned at birth. I said, Tilly wasn't happy because everyone saw her as a boy, but she knew she was really a girl. My pupil Ray asked, so boys can change into girls? And then Julie chimed in, and girls can change into boys? Yes, I said. Sometimes, while the doctor says a baby is a boy, as that baby grows up, they feel inside that they're not a boy. While they might have a boy's name, like Tilly, they know they aren't a boy and want to change their name. The same can happen for a girl. By making those changes, the person feels happier and more like themselves. Some people who experience this might use the word transgender to describe themselves. Once the pupils understood the concept, and once Liam and his mom were happy, I helped him tell the class. Everyone, do you remember last week we read about Tilly? Everyone replied, yes. Well, we're very lucky to know a person like that, and they're even in our class. The person we've been calling Lucy is really a boy, and is now ready to tell us all. Liam told the class, I've always felt like a boy. My new name is Liam. So when I call the ruler, I'll be calling out Liam McCarthy, and we will all call him Liam, won't we? The whole class agreed. Yes, teacher. Then Paul asked, teacher, is Liam still sitting at our table? I laughed and replied, yes, nothing has changed except Liam's name. And nothing did change, except that Liam seemed much happier in school. A few weeks later, I introduced the pupils to non-binary identity, where people don't identify with being either a boy or a girl. The most important element of any lesson on gender identity is that we put the emphasis on respecting everyone, regardless of gender identity or expression.
In other news, it turns out that Jansen Panettiere, the 28-year-old actor who died suddenly last week, did indeed die from complications with his heart. Jansen Panettiere is the brother of actress Hayden Panettiere. His family, including his mother, Leslie Vogel, father, Skip Panettiere, and sister, Hayden, said in a statement to ABC News, quote, though it offers little solace, the medical examiner reported Jansen's sudden passing was due to an enlarged heart, coupled with aortic valve complications. We sincerely appreciate the outpouring of love and support towards our family as we navigate this unthinkable loss and ask that we be gifted our privacy during this time of mourning, end quote. Panettiere's father, Alan Lee, or also known as Skip, said he had spoken to his son shortly before his death, and he seemed, quote, fine, end quote. The young man died on February 19th in New York. The actor, Well, he appeared in Even Stevens, Blue's Clues, Ice Age, The Meltdown, and The Walking Dead. Minor league baseball player and former New York Mets pitching prospect Matt Chirico died suddenly of a heart attack on Friday. He was only 31. The news was first reported by MLB insider Hector Gomez, who noted that the pitcher pitched in the Mexican League and Dominican Winter League this offseason. He started his life of baseball at Kentucky Wesleyan College before going on to sign a minor league contract with the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2016. The next year, he joined the Mets minor league program. He also spent time with the Miami Marlins. He is just the latest of thousands of young, otherwise healthy people, and in many cases, super fit athletes that have died suddenly and unexpectedly over the last 2 years. Doctors say they are baffled. The media throws up excuses and refuses to connect the dots, reporting each incident in a vacuum, as if it was an isolated case of bad luck. The government, well, they refuse to acknowledge or investigate these deaths. The Gateway Pundit reports that a Christian nurse in the UK was suspended from a national health system certification program after she said, quote, being white doesn't make you racist, end quote. Amy Gallagher said the harassment and bullying by the woke staff left her with crippling anxiety. The lectures at the NHS also taught that Christianity is responsible for racism because, quote, it's European, end quote. Amy Gallagher is bringing a lawsuit against the Tavistock Trust, where she took the course. The Daily Mail reports that when Amy challenged these controversial views, she was bullied by staff and suspended from the course pending an investigation into whether she is safe to work with patients. On a side note, I exposed the Tavistock Institute, and you just heard there about the Tavistock Trust. I exposed the Tavistock Institute in my documentary 3 years ago, Brainwashed America Part 1. They were notorious for using psychological programs to make people have anxiety. And what did she just say? This program caused her to have anxiety. It's to cause people to have anxiety, conflict, truth mixed with lies, so they don't know what to believe, who to believe, and they throw up their arms to go along with the herd, a herd mentality. It's a psychological process. Almost a year later, in this person's case, no investigation has taken place. So, it means her dreams of becoming a psychotherapist is hanging by a thread. And as if this isn't all bad enough, a course lecturer tried to get her banned from her day job as a practicing mental health nurse. Food banks are bracing for a major spike in demand when a special COVID food stamp program gets cut starting March 1st. That's today. That means millions of low-income Americans will unexpectedly find smaller balances in the accounts that they use to buy their groceries with. NBC News reports that as of March 1st, the emergency allotment for individuals and households enrolled in the Federal Supplement Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will end in 32 states, the District of Columbia, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. That means recipient households will see their monthly grocery allocations reduced by at least $95. That's according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, which is a left-leaning research and policy think tank. In daily terms, that equates to trimming the roughly $9 per person average to about $6.10. And the change comes when food prices in January increased 10% over the same month last year. Charles Jones, a 63-year-old U.S. military veteran based in Rockford, Illinois, told NBC News he received an enhanced monthly SNAP benefit of $281 under the temporary program. After it ends on March 1st, that's today, his payments will plummet to $23, the minimum monthly amount. He said, quote, "When they cut this extra benefit from SNAP, that's going to put me in a serious problem," end quote. Look for not only a spike, by the way, in business at food banks, but a spike in crime, because desperate people do desperate things. World Israel News reports that hundreds of Iranian girls have been deliberately poisoned so they cannot attend school. World Israel News cited Iranian state media reports from February 26 for these allegations. Iran's IRNA news agency quoted the country's deputy health minister as downplaying the incident by saying that only, quote, "several students," end quote, in the city have been poisoned. He did, however, release the motivation for the attack, saying, quote, "It was found that some people wanted all schools, especially girls' schools, to be closed," end quote. He did not reveal additional information about the alleged perpetrators, nor was any announcement made about any arrest. The numbers, however, are reportedly much higher than the health minister indicated. Hundreds of young girls in this Shiite city have been complaining of breathing problems, coughing, nausea, and headaches for the last 3 months. Some have been hospitalized. 2 weeks ago, parents demanded action by the authorities, and the government announced the very next day that it would look into the incidents. According to the investigation, unknown persons have reportedly been bringing an undisclosed chemical agent into the schools. There are elements within Islam who do not believe girls should have an education. The most well-known examples is that of the Sunni Muslim Taliban in Afghanistan, but they also exist in Iran, Somalia, and other hardline Islamic nations. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. It was 1 year ago that the Canadian Free Protest, led by truckers, took to the streets to protest the government's vaccine mandates and COVID lockdowns. The Canadian government, under Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, responded with an unprecedented move. They froze the bank accounts of hundreds, if not thousands, of the participants. This was done via the Canadian, quote, "Emergency Act," end quote. It grants the Canadian government unbridled power to essentially declare martial law and allow the government to take any action they think they need to restore order. Of that, one of the tools in their toolbox was to freeze accounts. Minister of Finance Chrystia Freeland stated on February 17th last year, quote, "The names of both individuals and entities, as well as crypto wallets, have been shared by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police with financial institutions, and accounts have been frozen, and more accounts will be frozen," end quote. Well, fast forward 1 year to February 18th, 2023. Freeland and Trudeau last week gave praise once again to the draconian action of freezing protesters' bank accounts. This came after a long-awaited Canadian Emergencies Act inquiry that judged the actions of the government and their initiation of the Emergency Act in response to the Freedom Convoy. The panel commissioned to examine the measure said that the feds had, quote, "reasonable grounds," end quote, to necessitate the taking of, quote, "special temporary measures," end quote, citing, quote, "threats to national security," end quote. Well, after that report was released, Trudeau and other officials in his administration spoke on their actions and reiterated why they felt their actions were just. Freeland once again lauded clamping down on Canadians' bank accounts. She said the financial measures were a, quote, "powerful tool to de-incentivize protest," end quote, and, quote, "shrink the size of the convoy," end quote. Here's what she had to say at a press conference last week on February 18th. Watch this.
So look, when it comes to the financial measures, I think the most important thing to start with is, as the Prime Minister just said, Justice Rouleau's conclusion, which was, and I'm going to read it. it was a powerful tool to discourage participation and to incentivize protesters to leave. I am satisfied that it played a meaningful role in shrinking the footprint of the protests, and in doing so made a meaningful contribution to resolving the public order emergency. That is his broad conclusion on the economic measures. It's what we believed at the time, and I'm really glad that having looked at this so carefully, Justice Rouleau agrees. I would also add that what was so important for us in putting in place these economic measures was our overriding objective, of course, was to end the illegal blockades and occupation. It was to do so without violence, without anyone being hurt. And the economic measures were a tool that really helped make that happen. On the specific question about unfreezing accounts, Justice Rouleau also points out a couple of things. He points out that on February 21st, an order issued, a statement from the RCMP effectively instructed that all accounts be unfrozen. Of course, when the measures were lifted on February 23rd, they were unfrozen. And he also pointed out in his own report that work was done urgently at the time and was being done between the government and law enforcement bodies and banks to ensure that there was a process in place to unfreeze the accounts. So all of that was happening. As the Prime Minister said, in the very horrible event that this ever has to happen again, for sure, there are some lessons for us. Thank you.
Did you catch that? Chrystia Freeland said, quote, freezing bank accounts was a powerful tool to discourage participation and to incentivize protesters to leave, end quote. So let's put that in perspective. We now have a judicial review of the fascist actions of a government colluding with banks to shut people out of their bank accounts because they participated in a completely peaceful protest about a government action, which at the same time was vaccine mandates for truckers and other citizens. Now, this happened in a Western nation that has been considered part of the free world. And make no mistake, other so-called free countries will be taking note of how they got away with it. It should be pointed out that both Trudeau and Freeland are graduates of Klaus Schwab's Young Global Leaders Program and are dedicated to the globalist agenda. And they're working toward the establishment of global governance. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, thank you for tuning in and for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. One way you can do that is by going to wvwfoundation.com and making a contribution of any size. Our foundation exists to push out free programming as a public service and a ministry to help people understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. We also sponsor a Sunday night service. I've been teaching that Sunday night service at 8 p.m. Central Time on Sunday nights since 2015. So if you appreciate all we're doing, we appreciate your support. WVWFoundation.com. You also find our mailing address there. We also have some resources you might want to check out. And for more information, the website is WVWTVStore.com. We're extending our free freight through March due to the fact so many are asking us to do that, so they have time to make their decision on what they want to get when it comes to emergency supplies. And they need time to budget, and we understand that. So we're going to extend the free freight through at least March. You can make that purchase online if you're interested at wvwtvstore.com. You can also call for more information, 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Well, thanks for watching. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.